Well, good morning. My name is Matt, one of the pastors here. Hopefully now that I've got the right prayer down, I can have everything down for the rest of the service. Before we dive into our text this morning, if you don't have a Bible with you, feel free to hop up, grab one from the back. It'll be helpful to have the text in front of you as we go through it this morning. If you're on your phone this morning, I'll just assume you're on the Bible app reading through the text and not checking up on anything else. Now, before we begin today, before we dive into our text for this morning, let me pray for us. Lord God, would you give us open ears to hear, open eyes to see, open minds to comprehend, and open hearts to receive what you have for us in your word this morning. Come, Holy Spirit, transform our lives and draw us closer to you. We ask this all in your Son, Jesus' name. Amen. So when I was 7 or 8 years old, I saw an ad on TV for something I wanted more than anything in the world. It was a Star Wars Millennium Falcon Lego set. As a huge Star Wars fan and as a huge Lego fan, this was the greatest news that I had ever received in my life up until that point. I saw the ad, sprinted into the kitchen, told my parents, I was like, this is the thing I want for Christmas. Like, this is it. Like, this will make my life. So when Christmas had come, came downstairs, looked at the tree, I saw a box for myself, and I had this strange mix of emotions, because I knew there was a chance that I could open it, and it could be the Lego Star Wars Millennium Falcon, but I also knew that I could open it, and it could be a sweater and some books. So I walk up to the box, apprehensively I started tearing off a little bit of the corner, but when I saw that Star Wars logo, I saw that Lego logo, I was so excited. I jumped up and I actually fell back into the Christmas tree, almost took the whole thing out. And I was so excited. But I want you to pause just for a second. I want you to pause for a second and I want you to think about, what's the best news you've ever received? How did you feel at the moment you received that news? Were you anxious? Were you too overwhelmed to even fully process what was going through your head at that moment? Now I want you to take another moment to think about how you responded to that news. What did you do? Did you pause? Did you take some time to let it sink in? Did you call your friends and family to let them know what happened? You see, receiving good news, it can lead to so many different feelings and so many different responses. This was incredibly true for the shepherds that we just read about a moment ago in our gospel reading. And it was also incredibly true for Mary. In fact, there are some amazing, informative things we can learn from how they responded to the good news in the gospel. And I know you may be thinking, we just read through this same text on Christmas Eve, why are we jumping back to it again? But I do truly believe in my heart that the word of God is living and active, sharper than any two-edged sword. And I think there's some super profitable things for us to look back at this text again this morning. But before we look at how the shepherds and how the angels and how everybody and Mary and how they all responded to the text and how they responded to this incredible announcement and news, we have to ask, what is this good news? What even is the good news the angels brought to the shepherds? Now, if you're here this morning and you're hearing this question for the very first time, I'm so glad that you're here. And I hope that the good news will transform your life as it has mine. Now, if you've heard this question asked 1,000 times before, and you've heard the story of the gospel before 1,000,000 times, I hope that the living and active word of God will spark something in your heart that will draw you even closer to Jesus. Now, the gospel reading we just read, the shepherds out in the field at night watching over their flock, you probably know what comes next in the story because you've heard it before. An angel of the Lord appeared to them. The glory of the Lord shone around the angels and the shepherds, and they were terribly afraid, which makes a lot of sense, because these were average guys. It's kind of akin to, imagine you're working as a security guard at an oceanfront resort, and you're just doing your job. You're patrolling the property, making sure everything is safe, and you're checking to make sure that all the guests are safe, and you're out there, it's 3 a.m., you're walking around, and then suddenly the glory of God appears and an angel appears, what would your response be? I would also be kind of intimidated and afraid. These were just average guys doing their job when suddenly an angel of the Lord appeared to them. Many of you know this story and you've heard it before. Either way, most of us have heard it, but I want us to consider together what the angel says next. In verse 19, the angel says, "Fear not, for behold, I bring you what? Good news of great joy for all the people." And I'll say that one more time. Fear not. What does the angel bring? Good news, great joy for all people. Now, the core of the angel's message to the shepherds that day, and the core of our faith, is the good news of the gospel that the angels bring that night to the shepherds. So what is this good news? What really is it? And I promise you, it truly is good news. Look at verse 11. "For unto you, born this day in the city of David, is a Savior who is Christ the Lord." Who does the angel say is born in the city of David? Someone who will judge you, someone who will shame you, or give you a task list of things you need to do to find true meaning in life? No. The angel says a Savior is born. Now, if we look in the text, is there an if statement? Are there qualifiers before any of that? Does it say, "Born to you this day is a Savior, Christ the Lord, who will save you if you're good enough, if you're wise enough, or if you have it all together"? No. In fact, that's the opposite of the good news of the gospel. The angel simply says, "Unto you, born this day in the city of David, a Savior who is Christ the Lord." But what is so good about this news? Why do we need a Savior? Why is it such good news that someone is coming to save us? Well, first and foremost, the good news of the gospel is that Jesus saves us from our sins. That's incredibly good news for me, because I know for a fact that I am a sinner. It is also incredibly good news for you, because even if you may not think it, we are all also sinners. Paul makes this fact super abundantly clear in Romans 3 when he writes, "For all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God." See, we are all sinners, and we've all fallen short of the glory of God. And that's why the first thing the angel says to Joseph about Jesus in Matthew 21 is so amazing. When the angel appears to Joseph, he says to him, "She will bear a son, and you shall call his name Jesus, for he will save people from his sins." So one of the very first announcements that's made about Jesus' birth is that he will be a Savior who will save you from your sins. This is such incredible news for you and for me, because the sin that is present in your lives, or the one thing that happened so many years ago that you just can't seem to move on from, or the daily patterns and rhythms of sinful thoughts that have weighed you down for years, unto you is born a Savior who will rescue you from all of that. See, at the core of the good news is not only the fact that Jesus saves us from our sin, but it's also that Jesus saves us from our shame. One of the things I've learned over the years, I say over the years like I'm super old, but one of the things I've learned is that one of the most powerful forces that can dominate our thoughts in our feelings, in our emotions, in our relationships with God is shame. Each and every one of us has something in our past that we look back on and think, man, if I could only go back and do something differently, then my life would be so much better today. Now, we all have these thoughts and feelings, but the good news of the gospel is that Jesus didn't remain in the manger as a child forever. Good news of the gospel is that Jesus didn't remain in the manger as a child forever. Instead, he grew up to take our sin and shame upon himself through his death on the cross. Jesus grew up, he took our shame upon himself upon the cross and saved us from our sins. Now hear these words from 1 Peter 25, starting in verse 24. He himself bore our sins in his body on the tree, that we might die to sin and live to righteousness. By his wounds you have been healed. For you were straying like sheep, but have now returned to the shepherd and overseer of your souls. Jesus didn't come into this earth, wasn't born into a manger, didn't grow up to die on a cross and rise again, so that we could hold on to these feelings of guilt and hold on to these feelings of shame. The good news of the gospel is that our shame and our guilt and our sin, it's been dealt with on the cross once and for all. When we go to Jesus in prayer, as I try to do as often as I can, and we say to Jesus, I'm at the end of my rope. I have so much shame, I don't know what to do. Jesus looks back at us and he says, I know your sin, I know your shame, and I see it. Give me your shame and let my peace rest upon your shoulders. And the fact that we are saved from sin and shame, it's incredible news. Indeed, it is good news. But our hearts don't only long for just a pardon from sin and shame. If we're truly honest with ourselves, our hearts also long for belonging. And this is where the good news gets even better. Listen to these verses from Galatians 4, 1 through 7. But when the fullness of time had come, God sent forth his Son, born of a woman, born under the law, to redeem those who were under the law, so that we might receive adoption as sons. And because you are sons, God has sent the Spirit of his Son into our hearts, crying, Abba, Father. So you are no longer a slave, but a son. And if a son, then an heir through God. See, the good news of the gospel and what makes it so truly incredibly good isn't just that we're given a get-out-of-jail-free card. It's so much more than that. We are saved so that we may receive adoption as sons and by the power of the Holy Spirit cry out, Abba, Father. Through the wood of the cross, we are adopted into the family of God, and our hearts find what we have been longing for all our lives, a place to truly belong. So the heart of the gospel, the good news proclaimed by the angels to the shepherds, is that we are saved from our sins by grace through faith, so that we may be adopted into the family of God. This is truly good news, but how does this sit with you? How does this good news sit with you? Does it bring you a sense of peace and joy? Does it intimidate you? Perhaps this good news may be overwhelming because it stirs your heart in ways that you may have never experienced before. Now, these are all good things to feel. Such an audaciously bold claim that the angels made that night to the shepherds, it should stir our hearts. This is an author that I've quoted before, but I'm going to quote him again just because it's my favorite book of all time. So an author named Brendan Manning, he sums this up well in his book, The Ragamuffin Gospel, when he writes, "We should be astonished at the goodness of God, stunned that he should bother to call us by name, our mouths wide open at his love, bewildered that at this very moment we are standing on holy ground." Now, if this good news is true, which I wholeheartedly believe that it is, and if it does stir our hearts, how are we to respond? How are we to respond amidst these feelings of bewilderment, astonishment, and wonder that the gospel stirs within us? Now, as we continue to look at the story in the second chapter of Luke's gospel, our response to the good news of the gospel, it's informed by how the shepherds respond, but it's also informed by how Mary responds. Look at Luke 2, 16 to 18 with me. When the angels went away from them into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, "Let us go to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has made known to us." And they went with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the baby lying in a manger. And when they saw it, they made known the saying that had been told to them concerning this child. And all who heard it wondered at what the shepherds had told him. Now, Luke, he doesn't tell us much about the shepherds, but we know this. They heard the good news, they responded in faith, they truly encountered Jesus, and they praised God for all that they had seen and heard. When they went to Bethlehem, Everything that the angels proclaimed to them was true, and their faith was confirmed. The shepherd's journey that began in faith ended in praise. When our hearts are stirred by the good news of the gospel, we're naturally drawn to praise. That's why so many of the Psalms in the book of Psalms are Psalms of praise, that praise God for what he's doing and what he's done. And that's why in the Book of Common Prayer, it says so many times in the morning prayer, the evening prayer liturgy, Lord, open our lips and our mouth shall proclaim what? Your praise. Now, there are times in my life when I feel like I've been so astonished by God's goodness, so astonished by the good news of the gospel, that the only thing I can think are words of praise psalms or words of worship songs that I've heard before. I think there's a contemporary music, a Christian artist named Brandon Lake, and I think he captures this feeling so well in his song Gratitude when he writes, "So I throw up my hands and praise you again and again, because all that I have is a hallelujah. And I know it's not much, but I've nothing else fit for a king except for a heart singing hallelujah, hallelujah." Sometimes we can be so astonished by the gospel, we can be so taken in and impacted by God's love, and our hearts can be stirred in such a way that we can't even find the right words to say. And that's okay, because the Psalms give us words of praise. Worship songs give us words of praise to say. And the Holy Spirit himself says prayers on our behalf and utterances and words that are too deep for us to even understand. So the shepherds, they teach us that one way we can respond to the good news of the gospel is simply with praise. Now Mary, interestingly, teaches us a different way, a second way to respond to the good news of the gospel. Look at Luke 2:19 through 20 with me. "And all who heard it wondered at what the shepherds have told them. But Mary treasured up all these things in her heart, pondering them in her heart." When the shepherds hear the good news from the angels, they praise. But Mary does something different. When we look at Mary, her response, she doesn't praise at all. She's sitting there and she's quiet. In fact, if you look at the text, there are no words from Mary that were given in that moment. She doesn't say anything. Instead, she soaks everything in and ponders these things in her heart. Now, when I was thinking of a good way to describe Mary's thoughts and feelings here, a good way to picture it, there was only one image that came to my mind. So I grew up in a pretty big family. I have two younger brothers, a younger sister. I have aunts, uncles, cousins, and everything is usually pretty chaotic. So when I was a kid, we used to go to my grandma's house every year for Christmas. And I can guarantee you, all was not calm and all was not bright, as we said. I may or may not have tossed a dinner roll at my sister across the table, for which I'm very sorry, Annie. But after dinner, through all this craziness, in the middle of all this, I vividly remember after dinner, everybody's running around, playing with our new toys, arguing over what activity we're gonna do next, who's gonna get the last piece of my grandma's famous peppermint pie. And I vividly remember my grandma just sitting there in one chair each year, and she's not saying anything, but she's looking out, and she's just sitting there and she's smiling. And at the time, this was so weird for me. I'm like, why are you not jumping up and yelling at us and telling us to stop, like, destroying your house? Like, you should be telling me not to throw something at my sister. Like, this seems strange. But she would sit there quietly, just soaking it in. But when I read this passage, my grandma's behavior there, it started to make more sense to me. Because what she was doing, what she had this unique ability to do, was to pause, to sit, and just quietly soak in the joy of her family around her and let that sink in. And I think that's what Mary was doing here. Mary was quietly sitting. She was looking at the shepherds praising, looking at her newborn son that was promised to her, looking at Joseph, and didn't even have the words to say. Instead, she was letting it sink into her heart, And she was pondering, thinking about what was happening, meditating on it, and praising the Lord in that way. Now, it's important. It's really important, like the shepherds, to praise and worship God for the good news of the gospel. That's why we gather every Sunday. That's why we sing. That's why we praise. That's why we read the Psalms. However, it's equally important for us to respond to the good news of God in silence. It's equally important for us to treasure up good news in our hearts, letting it soak in, letting the gospel seep into us, just like my grandma with the joy of Christmas morning sink into her heart. So this morning, I genuinely hope and pray that you have heard the good news of the gospel that was proclaimed by the angels to the shepherds. The fact that we are saved from sin and shame by grace through faith, so that we may be adopted into the family of God. I also want to leave you with a question and a challenge as we enter into this new year together. If you've received the gospel into your heart and you've had an open heart just as the shepherds have, how will you respond? Will you respond in obedience like the shepherds did? Will you respond in praise and worship? Or will you take the time to pause, to slow down, to let the gospel and let the good news soak into your heart and sit in silence before God in such a chaotic world, in such a busy time and in a busy place? This seems like such a strange thing to do, but I promise you, if you take the time to sit and pause and reflect on the goodness of God and the good news of the gospel and the joy that is brought to us through Jesus, I promise you the Lord will speak to you in ways that you've never experienced before. So as we enter into this new year, will you respond in praise? Will you respond in obedience? And will you pause, take a moment, and let the gospel sink in, just like Mary let the scene of the shepherds praising Jesus sink in? Now, with that in mind, let me close us in prayer this morning. Lord God, I thank you for the good news of the gospel and the message that the angels brought to the shepherds on that cold night. God, I thank you that you broke through the darkness of the night and brought forth the good news to the angels. The good news that we are saved by grace through faith and that we are adopted into your family. Lord God, I pray that you will stir in our hearts a desire to praise you for this good news. Lord, I pray that you will stir in our hearts a desire to sit in silence before you, ponder the good news in our heart, let it sink into us, let it truly change and transform our lives. God, I ask this through the holy and powerful name of your Son, Jesus, Lord. And I lift this up to you. Amen.